Ahoy there, ye sea dogs and wandering souls! Ye be listening to the Pirate's Code podcast, where truth rides the tides and legends be told without embellishing nor pardon. Today, we sail back to the golden age of piracy to answer a question oft asked. What be Blackbeard's favorite port? Pull up a chair, grab a mug of rum, and lend an ear, for I shall spin ye a yarn of Nassau, a pirate's paradise, and a lass with eyes that could steal a man from the sea itself. Set your course, mates. The tide be rising, and the tale be about to begin. So, what be Blackbeard's favorite port? Allow me to tell ye about one of me favorites, with a bit of history and a bit of romance. Nassau, Bahamas. She be founded in 1670 by British noblemen who brought settlers to the island. They built a fort and named it Charlestown in honor of King Charles II of England. Charlestown served as a nest for sanctioned privateers, sailing under the crown's blessing for a time. In 1684, Spanish raiders burned the town to the ground. Rebuilt in 1695 under Governor Trott, she was given a new name, Nassau, to honor King William III of the House of Nassau. Yet from 1703 to 1718, Nassau be left adrift with no rightful governor to command her. By the time I, Blackbeard, be serving as captain under Benjamin Hornigold aboard his second ship, Nassau had fallen into pirate hands. I, Hornigold, would later take a royal pardon and leave the pirate's life. But in those days, Nassau were a free man's land. There be over 1,000 pirates prowling the island, outnumbering the poor 100 or so townsfolk. We declared Nassau a pirate republic. No king, no crown, no chains of law forged by the greedy hands of the rich to control the masses. Free men and women ruled themselves, and if one scurvy dog crossed the line, justice was swift and sharp at the tip of a cutlass. No fancy pants lawyer to get the guilty acquitted, no rich man silver to buy his way out. When justice came, it came hard and fair. By me own reckoning, the problem with democracies is they be subject to human nature. The rich can pay off those who be in charge of dispensing justice. Due west from Morocco, across the Atlantic, be the western port herself. Ah, mateys, she were a beauty. Clear blue waters, so pure you could see the coral garden swaying beneath your keel. The harbor stretched wide like the arms of a loving mother, shielded from open sea storms by shoals and sandbanks. A perfect place for ships battered by the tides to rest, and a fine trap for anyone foolish enough to attack us. The harbor could hold around 500 ships, and it served about 100 ships a day. The air carried the heavy scent of salt and seaweed, mixed with the sharper tang of tar from the shipyards. Seagulls screamed overhead, circling for scraps tossed by the fishermen who lined the docks. The docks themselves were a chaotic symphony. Ropes creaking and slapping against masts. Men shouting orders in a dozen tongues. Barrels rolling down the planks, spilling rum and oranges in their wake. The clatter of blacksmiths hammering on anchors and cannon mounts nearby. Ships lay stacked side by side, careened on the beaches for repairs, flags of every color flying, and sails hanging like the weary arms of old warriors. The town behind the harbor was no less lively. Narrow alleys lined with shanties, smoke from cook fires curling into the sky, the smell of roast pig, spices, and the occasional less pleasant stink of humanity after a few months at sea. Weary sailors would pass the time in the bars and taverns and talk about their adventures and their homes and spend some time with the local wenches, and at the heart of it all, the Salty Mermaid Tavern. The Salty Mermaid stood squat and wide, built of rough-hewn timber, salvaged ship parts, and sun-bleached planks. Her wooden sign swung wildly in the warm Caribbean winds, painted with a mermaid smiling mischievously while hoisting a frothy mug. Inside, the floor was sticky with spilled rum and sea spray. And the rafters were low enough to bash the head of a drunken sailor if he weren't careful. Smoke from tallow candles and tobacco pipes drifted like low-lying fog across the room. The sounds of the place. Fiddles and drums playing fast and loose tunes. Tankards clanking in boisterous toasts. Sailors roaring sea shanties in 50 different keys. Laughter, curses, and the occasional thud of a man dropping under the table. The air inside smelled of wet wool from sailors' cloaks, roasted meat turning on a spit, sweet rum and bitter sweat, the faint floral scent of the tavern girls trying to mask it all with island flowers tucked into their hair. Behind the bar stood the local queen of the salty mermaid, serving drinks to the lonely lads, a lass with fiery ebony eyes that could steal a sailor from the sea, a quick wit and a quicker slap if a sailor got too bold. Aye, that be brandy. I remember first meeting her there, serving drinks, her laughter dancing over the noise like a bright ship over dark seas. Being somewhat of a ladies' man, she and Blackbeard became somewhat of a thing. Her scurvy brother, who fancied himself to be a writer or a poet, be always hanging about, making notes about folks and things they said. Who knows? Perhaps something grand would come from his writings. On me second visit, I brought her a silver locket on a finely braided chain. I had, liberated from a Spanish galleon and had me name etched on its back. She wore it close to her heart. When the hurricane season passed and it came time to sail with the next tide, she begged me to stay ashore. Aye, what a heartbreak. I told her, Brandy, me darling, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. But I cannot stay sweet, lass. I have not means of supporting us on land, and me being a pirate could bring trouble right to your doorstep. If I make any harbor me home, they shall find me, and it will be the brig or the gallows. In truth, my dear, me life, me love, and me lady is the sea. Ah, mateys, the sea. She be a cruel mistress, but she's the only one a true pirate can wed. What's that ye ask? Is a dangerous pirate becoming sentimental? Ah, say it aloud, and I shall toss ye overboard, back to Nassau. Benjamin Hornigold ruled the Pirate Republic in name, but Nassau herself was the true queen, feeding and sheltering the likes of Charles Vane, mad as a March hare, Thomas Barrow, the self-appointed governor, Anne Bonny, and Mary Red, the fiercest lasses to ever swing a blade, Calico Jack Rackham, the fancy pants who love bright colors more than battle, and me, Blackbeard, roaming the streets with pistols crossed on me chest and a flagon of rum in hand. What's that, mate? Was Captain Jack Sparrow there, ye ask? Arr! Jack Sparrow be naught but a clever yarn spun by Hollywood landlubbers in 2003. Johnny D's swaggering, weird acting portrayal of the character was loved by audiences worldwide, so I shall not destroy what lives in their imaginations. A fine bit of fun. Aye, but he be no true pirate of me acquaintance. As for Nassau, she were paradise with a dark heart. Her harbor safe, her taverns lively, her women wild, and her waters shining like treasure under the Caribbean sun. Except, of course, for the mosquitoes, thick as a London fog and irritating as, very irritating. The true enemy of every man ashore. I once had a mind to drain the cursed breeding swamps and run them off. I even outlined a plan to fill in and dry up the swamps. But alas, there were ships to plunder, and a pirate's duty lies with the open sea, not land-loving swamp work. And so, mates, Nassau remains forever etched in the heart of this old Sea Rover, a port of freedom, of fierce comrades, and tender memories best left to the tides. If ye enjoyed this voyage through the mists of time, hoist your colors and subscribe to the Pirates Code podcast at blackbeard.world, where true tales be told, treasure hunts await, and bold spirits find their kind. I still believe that everybody has a little pirate in them. Until the next tide, may the wind favor your sails. May fortune kiss your brow, and may ye always find safe harbor. Unless ye be looking for trouble, in which case, ye best bring rum. Fair winds, me hearties, until we meet again.